Hello and welcome back to Neely's Bend Baptist Church's Sermon Archive. I'm Austin Jones, the pastor here at Neely's Bend Baptist Church in Madison, Tennessee, and I'm so grateful you've taken the opportunity to listen to our sermons here at Neely's Bend. At Neely's Bend, our mission is that we want to equip people with the gospel so they can live in worship of God and one another fellowship and on mission by making disciples. My hope is that these sermons from Neely's Bend Baptist Church will encourage you with the gospel to live on mission and one another fellowship and in worship of God. If you have any questions about the gospel or Neely's Bend Baptist Church, please feel free to email us at nbbc@neelysbendbaptist.org. Thanks, and we hope you have a great week.
Thank you, Marty, for leading us in worship and praise this morning. And isn't that last song that we just sung on Christ, the solid rock I stand, such a true and good song? Such a great song to remember, and because of Christ, it's because of Christ and what He did on the cross that we can stand on Him as the solid rock. This morning, if you have your copy of God's Word, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. I don't know where my mind is, but Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. We are not in Romans, even though I will be quoting Romans at some point later. But Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Let us begin reading. The Word of God says, "Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to Him who appointed him, just as Moses was also faithful in all God's house. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant, to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. And we are His house, if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope." Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for your word, God. We thank you so much for the Hebrews passage, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, to be able to see that you are our hope, that our confidence and our boasting should be in you, Lord. That we should consider you as worthy of more glory. God, I pray this morning that you would just use me as a vessel for your kingdom, Lord. That I'm just a mouthpiece for you, Lord. That I just preach and teach all that is in your word and it's only your truth, God. God, I pray that you just help me this morning to preach with simplicity, with clarity, and passion. And God, I just pray this morning that we will rid our minds of all distractions around us, that we will just focus on you this morning, focus on your word this morning, and how we should consider you as worthy of more glory. Because you are, Lord. You are worthy of more glory. God, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Worthy of more glory. Worthy of more glory. Jesus is worthy of more glory. That is the whole point that the author of Hebrews is making in these first six verses of chapter 3. Jesus is worthy of more glory than Moses. But why is the author having to make that point? Why is the author of Hebrews having to tell his audience that Jesus is worthy of more glory than Moses? Well, we have to remember the audience. We have to remember the audience in which the author wrote to and recognize exactly who Moses is and what he meant to that audience. The audience the author was writing to was Jews who had recently converted to Christianity. They were still following all of the Old Testament sacrificial laws just a few days ago, a few months ago, or a few, maybe a year ago, and now they have changed from that and are now following Jesus. They're no longer following the Old Testament sacrificial system. And these Jewish converts, they're also being persecuted. These are things we talked about several weeks ago at the very beginning of Hebrews. But just to help us fully understand what is happening here, just to kind of refresh, these new Christians are being persecuted because they are now believing in Jesus. However, there are some rumors likely floating around that if you decide to no longer follow Jesus, then you would not be persecuted. And this sounds very appealing to those early Jewish converts. It would sound very appealing to even us if we were in that situation. And so they likely began to consider Moses again rather than Jesus. But why would they consider Moses again? Well, last week, as I said, Moses was a very, very big deal to them. Moses wrote the first five books of the Old Testament. Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt. Moses led them through the wilderness. Moses gave them the law. Moses mediated for them when God wanted to obliterate Israel. Moses could be considered the greatest leader in the Old Testament in many ways. Moses was a big deal. He held a lot of value to the Jews. And so the author of Hebrews is recognizing that these Jewish converts are beginning to think highly of Moses and going back to the law again. And so he takes this opportunity in these first six verses to say, no! Jesus is worthy of more glory than Moses. Consider Jesus and don't forget what he has done for you. Now, our situation in 2024 is drastically different than the Jewish converts were possibly going through back in the early days of Christianity. Right after Jesus had left earth. We're 2,000 years separated. And there's likely not a lot of Jews in this church, in this community, that is converting to Christianity, is there? So it's a totally different situation here in our context than it was in their context 2,000 years ago. So how do we have to understand this passage? How are we to relate to this passage? And ultimately, we have to see that sometimes we still see other things as worthy of more glory than Jesus, don't we? Worthy of more glory, or we give those things worthy. We give those things more glory than Jesus. We still sometimes struggle and maybe drawn back into the sinful activities, sinful desires, sinful lifestyles that we once lived before conversion. And we consider those sinful desires, sinful activities, sinful lifestyles as more worthy than Jesus. We possibly could be drawn back into the life of trying to live good enough in order to be saved, instead of recognizing that Jesus is worthy of more glory because he has done the work for us. We can possibly consider many things in our life as more glorious than Jesus. Whether that be our spouses, our kids, our jobs, money, retirement, hobbies. Anything can become more glorious in your life than Jesus is if you let it. Some of us may even consider traditions in the church or pastors or preachers as worthy of more glory than Jesus. Let me tell you, if a pastor or preacher isn't pointing you to Jesus, then he's not pointing you to the right person. He's not preaching the Word of God. But as we learned last week, we must always be found considering Jesus. Considering Jesus as worthy of more glory. Is that you today? Are you considering Jesus as worthy of more glory than the things in your life? Is there sin in your life that you may be considering as worthy of more glory than Jesus? Is there another idol in your life, such as family, job, wealth, hobbies, retirement, that is worthy of more glory than Jesus is in your life right now? Church, my purpose in preaching this passage today is for you will see that Jesus is worthy of more glory than anything else in your life. And so today we're going to see three causes of why Jesus must be worthy of more glory in our lives. The first cause that we see we're going to talk about is consider Jesus worthy of more glory because Jesus is faithful. Because Jesus is faithful. Read with me verse 2 again. Who was faithful? Speaking of Jesus, consider Jesus who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. The author here is telling us explicitly that Jesus was faithful to the Father. The Father is the one who appointed him. He was faithful to the plan the Father had. And the author uses Moses as an example of a faithful person. We've already talked about Moses just a little bit in the introduction, but you must remember the faithfulness of Moses, of how Moses faithfully did what God asked him to do in freeing the Israelites from Egypt. How Moses actually went to Egypt and demanded that Israel be released only to be told no 9 times from Pharaoh. And then after the 10th plague, Moses would faithfully lead the Israelites out of Egypt into the wilderness for 40 years due to Israel's unfaithfulness to God. Moses would then faithfully lead the Israelites to the banks of the river before crossing into Canaan. And along the way, God would speak to Moses and give him the law. And Moses would deliver that law faithfully to the Israelites. And Moses was faithful to uphold the law, even though along the way he did make some mistakes. One commentator said that from Exodus 35 to Exodus chapter 40, there are 22 references to Moses' faithfulness to God. Moses was a faithful servant. We can all agree with that. We can read of that in the book of Exodus and all in some of the other books there. And the author of Hebrews is saying that Jesus is faithful to God as Moses was faithful to God. However, more specifically, Jesus is faithful to God in that He was the sent one, the apostle, as we learned last week, and He was the high priest in that He was the one who died on the cross for us, for those who would believe in Him. Jesus was faithful to the Father's plan. Jesus was always found doing the will of the one who sent him. And Jesus remained faithful all the way to his sacrificial death on the cross. Jesus' faithfulness is far, far greater than the faithfulness of Moses. Jesus never sinned. Moses made mistakes. Moses sinned. Moses failed at times. But Jesus never made a mistake. Jesus never sinned. Jesus never failed. Jesus remained perfectly faithful the whole time. Praise God for the faithfulness of Jesus. And what an example that serves to us. As Jesus was faithful to do the will of God, so too should we be faithful to do the will of God in our own lives. So I ask you this morning, are you living faithful to God? Are you living faithful to God by doing the will of God in your life? And you may ask, what is the will of God? And the simple answer is just living in obedience to what He has commanded you to do. Living in obedience to the spiritual gifting that God has given you. Church, let's always be found living faithful to God in every way. The second cause that we should see here, beginning in verse 3 and 4, consider Jesus as worthy of more glory because He is our Savior. Consider Jesus as worthy of more glory because He is our Savior. Read with me verses 3 and 4 again. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses. As much more glory as the builder of a house has, more honor than the house itself. Verse 4, for every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Verse 3 in particular answers the question, why is Jesus worthy of more glory than Moses? And the answer is because Jesus is the builder of the house. Jesus is the builder of the house. And we'll soon expound on this more in our third cause. But for now, understand that Jesus is the builder of the house. Now, what exactly does the author mean when he says the builder has more honor than the house itself? Well, historically, we have a tendency to celebrate the architects, don't we? To celebrate the designer, to celebrate the one who brings the house up, who builds the building. One popular architect that we all may likely know is someone by the name of Frank Lloyd Wright, right? I said Wright twice there. It's two different words. Frank Lloyd Wright. We know him. Many of us know who he is. And we celebrate who he is because of the houses that he has designed and had built. We look at the houses he's designed and we talk about how cool and great it looks. But why does everybody talk about how cool and great it looks? Because of the person that designed it, right? The person that built it. And therefore, he gets the honor. Just over 2 years ago, Ashton and I took a trip to Chicago. We wanted to go and just kind of explore the city of Chicago, to see the city of Chicago. We'd never been there. And one great way to do that is to take an architecture tour around the city. So you get on the Chicago River, there's a boat there, and there's a guy or a lady that takes you on a tour around through the Chicago River, and you see all the massive skyscrapers that you can't see the top of because they're so tall. And on this boat tour, you just float down the Chicago River, and this lady, she just told us about all these buildings that were built. And it never failed. It never failed because she always, always mentioned one person, the architect. She always said, and this person designed this building, and this person was the architect of this building, and this person was the architect of this building. Well, this person has two buildings in Chicago. It never failed. She always told us that. Why? Because the architect is worthy of more honor than the building itself. Church, the author of Hebrews is telling us and saying to us that Jesus is the architect or the builder of the house of God. Why? Because He is the architect of our salvation. Because Jesus is our Savior. As Jesus saves, the house of God is being built. Because the people of God are the house of God. And how do you become a part of the house of God? How do you become a child of God? It is through the salvation of who? Jesus Christ. Jesus builds the house of God by saving souls, saving lives. The reason you are a part of the house of God is because Jesus has saved you. Church, we must always be found considering Jesus as worthy of more glory because He is our Savior. Do you thank Jesus daily for your salvation? Do you remember the goodness of what Christ did for you daily? Do you daily reflect on what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary so you can be saved? Church, I want to encourage you daily to daily remember what Christ has done for you. Daily be thankful for the salvation you have in Christ because He is our Savior. And as we do that, we will consider Him as more worthy, as worthy of more glory. Our third call that we see here, beginning in verse 5 and going to verse 6, is we see and should consider Jesus as worthy of more glory because He is our Lord as God's Son. Jesus is our Lord as God's Son. So let's read verses 5 and 6 again. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant. Notice the wording there. Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. And ultimately, I'm not going to talk much about it, but we ultimately see that Moses was testifying of the things that were to be spoken later. Who came later? Jesus. Right? Moses was testifying of Jesus. And then we see verse 6. Notice the difference here. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. And we are His house if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. There's ultimately three things I want to talk about from these two verses. And the first is the difference between Moses and Jesus. Moses was a servant. If you go back to verse 5 here, Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant. Yet Moses was no normal servant, was he? Moses was no normal servant. This is the man that led the Israelites out of Egypt through the wilderness. This was the man that gave them the law of God, the law from God. He was the one that mediated for them, yet he is called a servant. The Greek word here for servant is not your normal Greek word for servant. Most of the time, if not all of the other times in the New Testament, when you read the word servant, it should best be understood as someone who is a slave. But Moses was no slave, was he? Moses was an honored servant, a high-ranking servant. And that is how this word in the Greek should be understood. That's how Moses should be understood, as a high-ranking, honored servant. Moses, as the leader of the Israelites, was an honored servant. But yet Jesus is different. Jesus is different in that He is faithful, what does it say? Over God's house as a son. The son of who? The son of God. Jesus is faithful as the son of God. And the audience is, or the author is reminding his audience of the deity of Christ. The divinity of Christ, reminding them that Christ is God, reminding them of what He said in chapter 1 when He told us that Christ is the heir of all things, that Christ is the creator of all things, that Christ is the radiance of the glory of God, that Christ is the exact imprint of God's nature and the upholder of the universe. The one who made purification by sin or of sins by dying on the cross for them. The one who is now sitting at the right hand of God. That is God's Son. And He's reminding the Jewish converts of who Jesus is. Do you see the difference between Moses and Jesus? Moses, a servant. Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus is the creator of those who make up the house of God. And He is the builder, He is the Savior of those who are the house of God. Jesus is far greater, far superior to Moses. And that is the whole point the author is making in these first six verses. But yet there is another difference here. Moses was faithful as a servant. If we go back to verse 5, what does it say? In God's house. And then if we go to verse 6 again, Christ is faithful, what does it say? Over God's house. Moses was faithful as a servant in. Jesus was faithful as a son over the house. Moses in, Jesus over. Moses is one of those in the house of God. Jesus is over even Moses. And because Jesus is over the house, He is ultimately the Lord of the house. Jesus is our Lord. Jesus is ruling and reigning over the house of God as His Son. Jesus is not right now ruling over us who are in the house of God. The third and final thing the author does here is he clarifies who is in the house. If you read the end of verse 6 here, and it says, "And we are His house, if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope." The author here is saying that only those who hold fast their confidence and their boasting in their hope, Jesus Christ is the house of God. The end of verse 6 in some ways sounds very conditional, doesn't it? If we do this, then we will be a part of God's house. But is our salvation conditional upon us as human beings? It's not. Our salvation is conditional upon Jesus and what He did on the cross by dying in Him. All we have to do is believe in Him and repent of our sins. If one keeps their confidence and their boasting in Christ and they remain faithful, then they are saved. But if one doesn't, then they wouldn't be saved. But that's not exactly what this passage is teaching. Verse 6 is teaching that those who have genuine faith, that those who have true faith, will persevere in the faith to the end. Genuine faith perseveres to the end. I encourage you to write that down. Genuine faith perseveres to the end. R. Kent Hughes says, "Continuance in the Christian life, holding on, is the test of real faith." Continuance in the Christian life, holding on, is the test of real faith. Faith. Real faith endures to the end. Real faith perseveres. Fake faith fizzles out over time. Roy Johnson, he always quotes Brother Williams, a former pastor here, as often saying this, "A faith that fizzles was a fatal flaw at the start." Isn't that right, Roy? It's not right? Okay, there you go. It's even better. A faith that fizzles before the finish was a fatal flaw at the start, right? Yep, there you go. Close enough.
Yeah,
say that fast three times in a row. But a faith that fizzles was a fatal flaw, right? At the very beginning. That's basically the whole summary there. Why? Because fake faith fizzles. Fake faith fizzles out. Real faith perseveres. And for the Jewish converts who were facing persecution, this was a very big deal. And the author of Hebrews is saying, hey, you who are in the house of God, persevere. Stay strong through this persecution. Stay strong through this suffering. In church, even today, we endure persecution. It may not be exactly like the early church, but we endure persecution. And true faith, genuine faith, will always persevere. When suffering comes, when sickness and disease comes, when the loss of loved ones come, when it feels like bad things are happening all the time, when you lose your job, when you don't get the job promotion, true faith, genuine faith, perseveres. And you know why genuine faith perseveres? Because, as the verse says, if indeed we hold fast our confidence, real faith has their confidence, real faith has their boasting, real faith has their hope in Jesus. That's why real faith doesn't fizzle out. That's why genuine faith perseveres. Fake faith will fizzle and dissolve and go away when trials and tribulations come because Jesus was never truly their confidence. They were never truly boasting in Jesus. Jesus was never truly their hope. So I ask you today, when trials and tribulations come in your life, are you persevering in the faith? Is your confidence in Jesus? Are you boasting of Jesus? Is your hope in Jesus? Because when Jesus is your hope, when you boast in Jesus, when your confidence in Jesus, Jesus is your Lord, and you are of the house of God. But maybe you're here, sitting here this morning, and you're hearing the sermon, and you're beginning to realize that maybe you really don't have true faith at all. That you don't have faith in Jesus at all. And you know that. You know truly in your heart whether Jesus is your Lord or not. And this morning, if that is you and God is just convicting you and showing you that Jesus isn't your hope, then I want you to know that Jesus can be your hope today. That He can be your hope right now. Friend, I need you to know that God is a holy God, a good God, and we as humans are sinful. We have a sinful nature and we have a guilty verdict. We fail to give God glory, as Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And because we are sinners and fail to give glory to God, that is a big problem for us. It means that the wrath of God is upon us and we are destined for hell. It means that we don't have a relationship with God. But God in His goodness sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to be our hope. God in His goodness sent Jesus to fix the big problem that we have, to save us from the wrath of God. And the way in which Jesus did that was being born of a virgin in order to be the God-man, living a perfect, righteous life, not sinning once, dying a sacrificial death on the cross of Calvary, being buried and raised again on the third day, overcoming sin and death. And the Bible teaches that all we have to do as humans is respond to the call of God by believing in Jesus and the works of Jesus and repenting of our sins. So this morning, if you sense the Lord calling you, you sense the Lord drawing you to Himself or inclining you to Himself, then take this moment and just respond right now by saying, God, I believe in what Jesus did. I believe in what Jesus has done. I believe in what He did for me by dying on the cross. I believe that He was raised from the dead. I believe in the salvation that Jesus gives. And God, I have sinned against You. But today I am repenting of that sin. And turning to You, please forgive me. And God is faithful to forgive those who repent and believe in Jesus. So if you did that just a moment ago, if you truly and genuinely believed and repented of your sins, I want you to know that you are saved from the wrath of God. And now you are a part of the house of God. And you have real faith. You have faith that will persevere to the end. And if you did that, I would love for you to have a conversation with me or another believer that you know. I'd love to have a conversation during our invitation here in a few minutes or as you're walking out. And let's have a conversation about you responding to the gospel of Jesus Christ and the decision you are making to follow Jesus. Church, let us remember that Jesus is the one whom we should hold our confidence to, hold fast in our confidence. Jesus is the one who we should boast in, and Jesus is the one who should be our hope, because He is our Lord. In our sermon today, we've seen three causes of why Jesus is worthy of more glory: because He is faithful, because He is our Savior, and because He is our Lord as God's Son. Is Jesus worthy of more glory in your life because He is these things to you? Is Jesus worthy of more glory because He has been faithful to you? Is He worthy of more glory because He is your Savior? Is He worthy of more glory because He is your Lord as God's Son? And if He is not, then as you begin to see Jesus as faithful, remember Him as Savior daily, know Him as Lord, and He will become, and He will be worthy of more glory in your life. When I think of someone or a couple of people who displayed that God is worthy of more glory, I think of Daniel. And Daniel was the one that was thrown into the den of lions because of persecution. King Darius had signed into law that whoever made a petition to any god or man for 30 days except to King Darius would be cast into the den of lions. This was persecution against Daniel and his God. Daniel did not follow these orders and instead continued to pray 3 times a day on his knees and gave thanks to God. Daniel considered God as worthy of more glory than King Darius, because he knew that God was faithful. He knew that God was his Savior. He knew that God was his Lord. In the persecution, Daniel persevered. His faith didn't fizzle. His faith persevered and continue to see God as worthy of more glory. Another person I think of is Job. And all the suffering and all the trials and tribulations that Job went through. Yet Job still considered God as worthy of more glory because God was still faithful to him. He considered God as worthy of more glory because He was his Savior and because He was his Lord. And Job persevered through all of the suffering. Through the loss of his family, his animals, his possessions. Through the loss of basically everything he had except for his own life. And yet he persevered. Why? Because his faith in God was real. Because his faith in God was genuine. Real faith perseveres. Fake faith fizzles. Put yourself in Daniel's shoes. Put yourself in Job's shoes. Would you have remained faithful and considered God as worthy of more glory in the middle of the persecution and suffering? Or would your faith have fizzled? Church, when we consider Jesus as worthy of more glory because He is faithful, because He is our Savior, because He is our Lord, our faith can remain strong all the way to the end. Because we are of His house. Because we are children of God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we just thank You so much this morning for being our hope, for sending Jesus to die on the cross to be our hope, to be the one that we can put our faith in. And God, I pray that we as believers of You, Lord, as believers of Jesus, will always be found as considering Jesus as worthy of more glory in our lives. That we remember that He was faithful to You, God. And that we remember that He is faithful to even us now as He is holding us in our hands, Lord. Lord, that we will remember that He is faithful because He is our Savior. That we remember He is worthy of more glory because He is our Lord. God, I just pray that You help us in those things. And Lord, if there's one here this morning that has never believed and repented of their sins, Lord, I pray that today, right now, in this moment, they will believe in You and trust in You as Savior, Lord, repent of their sins. God, we thank You so much for Jesus and what He did for us. Say all this in Jesus' name. Amen.